Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be across this, and whenever you may be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, and you are listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, and we are broadcasting live from New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long walk, but an otherwise short flight on the Millennium Falcon north and east of me in Charleston, South Carolina. The gentleman in charge of keeping life simplified. His name is Troy Hall. He is a COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, I am doing awesome today because I learned that today on May the 20th, Levi Strauss and Jacob Davis received a patent for blue jeans in 1873.
Awesome, awesome.
Seriously, it's like, you know, think about contemporary. I mean, you know, where would we be today without blue jeans?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't either. And you know, some other really cool things that happened on this particular day is this was the day in 1927 when the spirit of St. Louis departed.
Oh.
Really, from an entertainment standpoint, in Hollywood, The Simpsons airs its 400th episode in 2007.
Wow. It's
totally amazing. From a presidential standpoint, Lincoln signs the Homestead Act in 1862.
Yep. Very, very significant legislation.
It's just amazing. I mean, if you want to go really back in time, in 1506, Christopher Columbus died.
Oh, and we all know Christopher Columbus because we have a federal holiday named after him here each and every day. Well, listen, that's awesome stuff to know. Speaking of the other one that you were talking about, The Simpsons. I remember, believe it or not, I'm 43. I'm actually old enough to remember their debut episode. They were on the Tracy Ullman show back in the early to mid 80s. But when they got their own show, myself and a bunch of guys out at Fort Ord, California, I think this was 1988. We're watching Fox. We love 21 Jump Street. You know, we've got Pirates of the Caribbean starting tonight, that next series in the franchise with Johnny Depp. We were big 21 Jump Street fans. And remember, we watched The Simpsons, and I think it was Married with Children. And the consensus in the room that night was The Simpsons had absolutely no chance of making it. And I think they're still on the air, are they not?
Oh, yeah, they're still on the air, and you're exactly right. I'm, like, amazed. I cannot even believe that the show is gone as long as it has.
That was back at Fort Ord, California, and it's interesting that you bring up The Simpsons, because whenever I think of the – I don't watch the show anymore. I never really cared for it. But when I see that it's still on, I always remember. I always go back to that little barracks room in Fort Ord, California, home of the 4th Battalion, 21st Infantry, the Bayonet Division, the 7th ID Light. And today on the show, this is something that I know you and I are big-time believers in. We are celebrating Military Awareness Month, and that's a –
Very noble cause. Good
very noble cause. Military Appreciation Month. It's May. We've got Memorial Day coming up, and we got a big treat on the show. David Tuyo from Pair Federal Credit Union out in Florida is going to join us in a few minutes. But I was thinking about Fort Ord. You and I were talking about leading up to the show today. Tonight, you know, I'm the treasurer for my son's. He goes to a small private school here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and they're having their athletic banquet tonight. And, you know, I've been collecting money and checks and stuff all week. Well, when tonight our eighth graders are having their final banquet. We go K through eight at Cross Lutheran. And I was thinking about eighth grade. It was the summer between my seventh and eighth grade, so I was technically an eighth grader, that I had my first job, if you will. I used to cut, you know, did you ever cut grass in your neighborhood to make money?
No, not to make money. I sold newspapers.
So yeah, sort of that same, you know, before you're old enough to have a real job, a W-2 job, before you can drive, I had four lawns on my street, and every week I would cut them on Thursday, Friday. And the guy next door to me, his name was David Slife. He was a captain in the United States Army out at BAMSI here in just south of here in San Antonio, Texas. And he said, okay, I got to pay you for 4 weeks as I'm leaving town. And he gave me a check for $40. And it was the first check I ever got. It was like a little beige, you know, with a micro line at the bottom. Nothing fancy, no NASCAR, no, you know, no images or anything like that. And what do you think my biggest concern was when I got a check for $40?
Where you were going to spend it?
How exactly? How was I going to spend it? I didn't have an account. I did not have anything. It's like, how do I put this into a, you know, video game at the arcade? How do I convert this into pizza and sodas and stuff like that? So I went and talked to my parents, and my parents said, well, you can open up an account at the credit union. Their credit union happened to be Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union down in San Antonio, a military credit union. And today we're going to talk with David Tuyo, who is also working at a military credit union. He's going to discuss with us some of the unique challenges and, of course, some of the unique benefits of working with the military membership and their families, and we're going to do it right after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, where the talk is hot and the hosts are...
hotter.
Much hotter, and so are the guests this week. Hey, it's David Tuyo from Penn Air Federal Credit Union. Hey, David, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Great. Well, like we said earlier, it is Military Appreciation Month, and I wanted to get somebody on the air that deals with that very unique and important demographic. David, tell us a little bit about Penn Air Federal Credit Union.
Well, Penn Air Federal Credit Union was founded in 1936. We were originally, I love telling this story, we were originally the Pensacola U.S. Naval Air Station Federal Credit Union for Civil Service Employees.
Nice.
And that was our first name. And I got that all in one breath, which I think is pretty impressive. But today we're a billion dollars in assets. We're over 100,000 members, and we have 16 branch locations and then three high school branches as well.
Nice.
Wow. So you're in
and
a lot of different...
I'm sorry, we do service three area naval installations, and they include NAS Pensacola, which is the cradle of naval aviation. So every single naval pilot pretty much runs through there for training. We have NAS Whiting Field, which is where every single Marine helicopter pilot is trained, and the majority of naval helicopter pilots are trained. And then we also are on base at the Corey Station, which is where the Center for Information Dominance is. Now, we're not allowed to go in there. It's barbed wire and fences and everything else, but this is where all of the code breakers and linguists and things of that nature are trained, and that's where they operate out of. And it's very interesting to talk with them. So, again, it's a great honor to be able to serve those that serve us and sacrifice their freedoms for ours.
All right, Chris.
David, I wanted to ask you, it sounds as though with all of the military presence that it's kind of hard keeping your members all in one place. So are they geographically spread out, and are they in a lot of different countries?
That's a good question. I mean, to know exactly which countries they're in, sometimes we don't always know because of the nature of their missions and their MOs and things like that. So, but we do know that 71% of our membership is within a 10-mile radius, basically, of all of our branch locations. So the majority of them are still here along the Gulf Coast, along the Emerald Coast, with our white sand beaches, and continue to stay here A lot of the admirals, they like to retire in this area, so a lot of them come back to us after being away. The commanding officer most recently from one naval stations went away to Bahrain for two-year assignment. He's now coming back this year and retiring, and will be setting up his own business and has kept his membership with us through that time.
We're visiting with David Tuohy. He is the Executive Vice President and the Chief Financial Officer for Pennair Federal Credit Union. We are celebrating Military Appreciation Month this May 2011 by visiting with someone who represents those military families as part of their membership. David, when I was leaving the Army in 1989, it seems like a long time ago when you think about it from a technological standpoint. The last thing I did, the very last thing on my way out the gate at Fort Ord, California, is I stopped at Fort Ord Federal Credit Union and closed my account. There was just no way for me to maintain a banking relationship with this credit union in California when I was going back home to San Antonio, Texas. You guys have people that are in constant motion. They're moving from Florida out to their next training session. They're moving all the way across the country to California. They're going to Randolph Air Force Base. They're going to the Naval Air Station in Corpus Christi, Texas. And, of course, with the current deployments all over the world, what are some of the unique marketing challenges that y'all face in terms of retaining your best members?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is, you know, you have so many online features today. Our biggest competitor is USAA. And, of course, with their size and resources, they've done a phenomenal job in serving the military and the families of the military. I do believe that Pennair does a better job, and we really focus on that personal touch, that relationship that we can give them that maybe they can't get from a purely online institution. We do have mobile services. We have mobile banking. We have everything can be done from the cell phone. Of course, we have a full suite of online services. Actually, it's actually more robust as far as offerings and what we can actually do inside of our branches. And then most recently, what we did to kind of really help with our retention, you know, of course, another one of our competitors is, unfortunately, the credit union, Navy Federal. But, you know, they have a couple hundred branches and, you know, they market that they're everywhere that the military is. And so to kind of combat that, we recently joined shared services. And so with shared branching, our members now have access to 4,200 branches across the United States. And that really, you know, of course, that's 20 times more branches than what Navy Federal has to offer our membership. And, of course, that's 4,200 more branches than USAA has. So we're very excited about that. And we are having some success. But that is something that, you know, we have to continue to focus on from a marketing perspective, educating the membership, educating our area as well, not just in the military, but we also have a lot of transient nature with the military contractors and defense contractors that also support the military mission, and they're very mobile as well. So we continue to always focus on a huge education effort, all of our marketing supplies, brochures, things of that nature, our sales training, and then also our online messaging inside of online banking. We continue to reiterate that kind of constant message that we are everywhere you need us to be.
And you know, some of the things, David, that you were talking about, for me also are a little bit similar here in South Carolina. Although we are not declared a military organization, we have military roots. We started out as the Naval, Charleston Naval Shipyard Credit Union, NCS, you know, in our early beginnings. And then only when they shut down the base in 94 did we actually convert to a more open name and an open community charter. South Carolina Federal Credit Union. So we certainly appreciate, you know, some of the things that you were talking about. And I guess I wanted to ask you I have a couple questions, but one of them I wanted to go to was the shared branching. So do you feel that strategically that branch presence is still very important for you to do business with the military, or do you just see it as a supplemental, or is it part of a transitional strategy because you know that in a X number of years, maybe the branch won't be that important? I mean, how does that all work for you?
Yeah, I mean, right now in our current environment, the branch, the brick and mortar is still very important. I do believe we're in a very brick and click environment. In the current time when we have this disparity of how people want to do business, they want to be able to use the internet and their cell phones be able to transact business, but then they also want to be able to go in and talk to somebody as well. Will the branch, you know, down the road 10, 15 years be as viable as it is today? Well, it'll definitely be viable, but it'll be less so than it is today. At least that's our belief. But what we noticed, which is really unique, I've been at two other credit unions. I was at two community charter credit unions, one in Jacksonville, Florida, one in Nashville, Tennessee. And when I was at those organizations, you know, we didn't see quite the heavy volume of branch transactions per member that we see here. And so what we're noticing is that the military does have a unique, you know, financial behavior of heavily relying on the brick-and-mortar branches to do the transactions.
That's actually a great point. That's actually a great point, Troy. You know, you and I have been talking – Troy and I have been talking about this for a long time. Sort of what is the – we know the brick-and-mortar is still relevant, but what is sort of the balance that everyone is trying to accomplish at their shop, whether it's a military shop like yours or a more of a community-based charter like Troy's? I want you to stay on the phone, David. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to ask you a question because you said something that really piqued my curiosity about USAA, and I want to ask you about that when we come back after this.
Sure.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live and talk, 646-915-9274.
All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free with Jason and Troy, where the talk is hot and the hosts are...
hotter.
So much hotter. We're visiting with David Tuyo. He is the Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Pennair Federal Credit, and we're celebrating Military Appreciation Month, talking about the unique challenges and the unique rewards of dealing with our military community and their families. David, you said something earlier that just my eyebrows shot up. A couple months ago, we had Jeffrey Pilcher on the show. He's with the Financial Brand, and he had sent out a tweet. I forgot what it was, a tweet or a question about, what do you think was the best banking brand in America? And this is before I met you guys down at the NAPQ show in – I think that was out in Florida back in May. And my pick for the best banking brand in America was USAA. I know they are a big-time competitor of y'all's and that they go everywhere the military goes. Do you have any kind of specific marketing strategy for dealing with that internally at Pennair that you can talk about?
Well, you know, of course, you know, there's only so much that we can talk about to keep, you know, what needs to be confidential. But from a product standpoint, we did aggressively roll out insurance services that we found that really was one of the big anchors with the clients and customers of USAA is not so much, you know, the rate or anything like that. Those are all easily overcome. But it was the fact that their insurance and everything was in one place and made it even easier. And just kind of taking that point of convenience from a product consolidation, institution consolidation, instead of having, you know, seven different people to talk to, USAA has done a phenomenal job of squeezing that into one relationship. And so we have a QSO that we've partnered with three other credit unions to offer insurance services. We do have some unique relationships that allow us to be extremely competitive with the rates of USAA. We've been able to win customers that were of theirs back to members of Pennair, and it's been a valuable asset. That was one of the major things that has been a big driver of our success most recently.
Well, David, before Troy wraps this up, that's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. When I was deployed to Iraq in 1991 for the first Gulf War, I mean, I was 23 years old. I didn't have any concept that anything could happen to me. We had what was called the Soldiers Group Life Insurance. I think it was $10,000 or something like that. I thought, just in case, if the plane crashes, I step on a mine, who knows? I want to get insurance for my mom and dad or whatever. And I went to the credit union, the same credit union I mentioned earlier, and they were like, we don't sell insurance here. To me, it seems like you guys are going head-to-head with USAA in their own backyard with insurance products, which, if you think about it, people in the military, that is a big deal for them, is it not?
It is. And, you know, first off, I want to say thank you for your service. I mean, I really, you know, my brother's been in the military now for 17 years. He's done seven tours in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan.
Wow.
And I know what you had to go through, and I really appreciate the sacrifice that you made for this country and our freedoms. Talking about, you know, as far as taking the battle to them, you know, that's you know, we wanted to, you know, play. They came in our backyard. We're going to, you know, we're going to compete with them as well.
Nice.
We believe that the gain in market share is to compete with the banks and the non-traditional players and steal back that market share that is rightful of Credit Union. It should be, you know, Credit Union should have, you know, 90% market share, not the 6% market share that we have today. And we're going to aggressively continue to go after your bank clients, customers, and USA's banks and customers as well.
Yeah, and David, I just, you know, want to echo and thank you for, you know, for what you and the credit union there is doing in order to appreciate the military and being responsive to their needs. And, you know, some, you left us with some great nuggets that might need some further exploration and can be great topics for us in the future. You know, as a large organization, $1 billion, 100,000-plus individuals, you still talked about your focus on personal touch and what importance that was. You made some commentary about some of the products and services, and we just mentioned about insurance. So you have to be innovative and really look at what really makes sense. You're not afraid to take on the big guys. Of course, neither was another guy named David who wasn't afraid to take on a giant. So he did so with a little sling. So I don't know if you have a sling or not, but it might be helpful. And then, but something that I think will be good to just have us ponder on, and we don't necessarily have to answer this, but when you talked about your branching network and shared branching and the importance of having it today, you talked about the military, and I kind of want to, so for me, like a little question I pose in the back of my mind is it that when people have a mentality of living paycheck to paycheck, do they then rely more on the traditional branch than an individual who lives paycheck to paycheck but doesn't think that that is a terrible place to be but sort of where they are, so therefore they're more accepting and embracing of online because they kind of know how to do it. So there's like a difference between the paycheck to paycheck person who isn't really sure what they're doing, so they need to come in and let somebody tell them, and then there's the person who might live paycheck to paycheck but has an idea what they're doing, so they go online. So just something to kind of leave us with as we kind of wrap this up. And so then as we close out with that, we just want to make sure that everybody has a chance to figure out how to get in touch with you again. So if you could just give us some contact information if they want to follow up with questions to you, that'd be great.
Sure. My I'm on Twitter, and, of course, that's 2YO, the number 2, and then Y-O. Also, my email address is TUYODA@penair.org. That's TUYODA at penair.org. And, of course, my direct line here at the Credit Union is 850-505-3200.
All right. Hey, listen, David, man, I really respect what you guys do out there. Naval Aviation has a culture of excellence that I know is matched in your credit union, and we want to wish you continued success on everything you do. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was absolutely my pleasure, and you know, make sure as we see those, as we pass by in the airport, as we see them on the plane, that we continue to thank them for their sacrifice. So, again, their sacrifice, our freedom.
Thanks so much,
David.
Thank you, David. Take care.
All right, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, folks. We'll be right back after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. You know, Troy, when we sit down to do this show every week, you and I will craft three or four questions that we think are relevant to the guests that we're having. And none of the questions I had for David had anything to do with USAA. And I guess sometimes, how do you forget about USAA? I did this week, but how does anybody forget about them?
Well, you know, sometimes they can be so big that you don't. It's not that you forget about them, but you're not going to worry about it. So you're not going to really. And sometimes you may niche separately. I mean, you know, the fact is that they choose them as a competitor and choose to go after them. I mean, that's really great with their influence. But you can still be great, successful, and niche yourself in a way in which you don't identify USAA as a competitor. So it just depends.
I don't know. I was just thinking about that because, you know, you and I. Our show, you know, I want to thank the audience. We went over 8,000 listens on this show. And Troy, I mean, when you think about it, when you think that 8,000 people have heard our voice. I don't know if that makes me feel good or worried about the credit union marketplace. I mean, that's some scary stuff. But as again, evidence today, a conference quality conversation without the TSA shakedown and expensive hotel food. To me, you and I have always focused on the generational thing. But there is one generational dynamic that everybody has in common, and that is all. We all get older, and at some point, we assume room temperature, and we leave whatever we have left over to our heirs. And to me, insurance, my family, I've got family members up in, you know, that are retired in Florida right now, living a nice, comfortable life because of insurance. And I've got family members up in Rhode Island that are making a very nice living with Harley Davidsons and SUVs and because of insurance. To me, we talk about social media. We talk about member business loans. To me, insurance continues to be, if you go back in the history of American banking, insurance deeds on property, and you know, you brought up the Homestead Act. There was an insurance rider for those products when you bought that kind of thing, because you're living out there in uncharted territory in the Ohio Valley. You know, Troy and his family with the shotgun. Insurance was a huge part of that culture. And when he brought up USA Today, it really got me thinking about how many credit unions are really doing that part of the business well in 2011, because I think it's still relevant.
It is. As a matter of fact, we've chosen insurance products, and we actually our CUSO that we've just sort of revamped, and so I'm now actually in a position to chat a little bit more about it than I was a few months ago. We were still in the final phases of getting it all ironed out, and we had to get the name resolved. And so we have already trademarked for our products that we'll be offering, and they will be called Insurance Solutions. And so we have that trademarked, and we're actually rolling out things like dental and vision insurance, and it is already getting great response from our membership. And then we will be moving toward insurance for the Medicaid supplement. That will be coming up later in September and October.
Well, I mean, I'm glad we had a chance during May. I mean, it's Memorial Day month. Next week, we'll have Sarah on the show. We're going to talk about the last day of school, which is next Friday. We're going to interview some of our, what I believe is going to be the first class, the first freshman class that are not Generation Y, but are the millennials. We'll talk to some of them next Friday. But I was so glad we got a chance during May to focus on something that I know is very near and dear to your heart and mine, and that is the American military. I mean, you know, I started speaking professionally in 2002. I'm in the airports a lot. I get to meet a lot of these young men and women that are serving in uniform. It is a unique calling that people feel. You know, you kind of get lured into a misconception that all the people you see in uniform, especially in the enlisted ranks, are from broken homes and, you know, whatever. Many of them are – I mean, you have people in your own family, Troy, that are middle-class, everyday people out there doing – amazing things on behalf of the rest of us, and in this show itself, this freedom of expression, this freedom of opinion, was not just found; it was earned by our military people, going back to the history of our country.
Yeah, and you're right too, because for my nephew, it was he chose this at maybe the age of 10 or 12. I mean, he played in Army gear. He played the whole thing. I mean, it was just like it never, ever stopped. And he knew that the military is where he needed to be. And, you know, is a Marine and is actually deployed in Afghanistan. But through the wonders of technology, through Facebook, we are able to stay in touch with him and he's sharing things with us. And he's really able to debrief us in a way in which you wouldn't normally think that you would want to know about. Like, for instance, he talked about his expedition that they were on, and they almost got blew up. And you kind of think, well, like, oh, okay, do I really think I want to know about it? But the reality is, yeah, you do, because it really keeps you engaged and in touch, and it reminds you how much you've got to pray for these men and women who are out there who are risking their lives each and every day to give us something that we take for granted, which is our own individual freedom. And, you know, there is a price to pay to keep it, and I just am so grateful for those folks who do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we end out the show today, you know, we did a concert yesterday in Vermont. It's 3 years now since we did the concert, our first concert for financial literacy, and 20,000 students later, we're still going strong. But Troy, I want you to do me a favor. You know, all the concerts and all the travel I've been doing is taking me into contact a lot of military people. Give your father, who's a World War II veteran, a hug on behalf of our 8,000 listeners, and I'll wish you a great weekend, and I'll see you next week on the Radio Free Credit Union Show.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. I will do that.
Take care.